White Sox fans, welcome in to a midweek edition of Sox on Tap. It's Johnny Nani alongside my guys, Tony and NWI Steve. Boys, we're here on a rare winning day for the White Sox. Feeling good right now. I'm going to take this one in and enjoy it. I don't know about yous.
Hey, yo, boys. A series win against an American League team. Who would have thought that
season something series, like this? We'll say that.
Yeah, a season series victory against an American League team. I thought we were just getting ready for Barons on Tap tonight.
Johnny, victory beers.
Cool and
crack
tough.
Them. Cool and tough. We enjoy victory beers around here. It's not often that we get to sit on this microphone together and talk about victories, but we get the honor to do that tonight. So it's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited. Steve, that's a very nice Barons shirt. So, I mean, I think you're prepared for Barons on Tap, but I don't know if we're ready to go full into it just yet. But I appreciate the effort.
I mean,
we can send him down, Johnny, if we want.
Demote.
Send him down.
Hashtag demote instead
whoa,
of
whoa, 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 whoa. No. There's no demote. It's only promote.
Yeah, straight to the top. All right, guys, like we had mentioned there, season series win over the Rays. That's our main focus to begin tonight's show. We'll also get into a little bit of news throughout the organization. There's a minor trade that went on today. We've got a little bit more sample size on Brian Ramos, so we'll get into him. A little minor small update on Luis Roberts. We'll talk about him. Ozzie had some interesting comments on the post-game show Tuesday, so we'll revisit that and take a look at what's on tap next. That'll be the Cleveland Series 4-gamer coming up this weekend. Before we get into any of that, make sure you're subscribed over on YouTube at OnTap Sportsnet. Give us a follow on the socials at Sox on Tap and at OnTap Sportsnet. And you know OnTapSportsnet.com is the place to go for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. All right, guys, first two games of the series against the Rays weren't all that hot, not a whole lot going on offensively, some rough pitching outings from the Mikes, but then you're flexing. Chris Flexen comes to the rescue today. Six strong, three hits, one earned run, one walk, eight punch outs, which is impressive for him. It was nice to finish this on a high note and for the boys to have a happy flight home back to Chicago.
You know, Flexen really has, in his last three or four outings, thrown the ball very well for this team. And this is a guy that, you know, initially those first three starts, it was very rocky, as they highlighted on the broadcast there. It was really getting knocked around a lot and just kind of seemed like that was a guy that was going to be part of the churn and burn for the pitching staff on this team here. Goes over to the bullpen, kind of tweaks a couple of things, and he's looks like he's figured some things out here, and he's looked pretty solid last couple times out. And you know, you look at what he's done against the Rays this year. I think it was 11 innings, 10 strikeouts, and like five hits and one run over those two starts here. So you got to feel pretty positively about that. And just today he was going out doing what I like to see pitchers do, being aggressive, attacking the strike zone, working ahead, only issued the one walk out there. So you have to be pleased with what you've got from Chris Flexen here tonight. And like I said, it's really a continuation of what they have seen from him over the course of the last couple, two, three outings.
Oh, Johnny, I really love the Yermin Mercedes deep cut happy flight mentioned there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. A little bit of paint, too, from Flexen. I was a little bit surprised for that. Other than that, Tony, offense picked up here tonight. I know they only scored four, but that's more than, you know, what they had combined in the first two games, and those came via way of the long ball. There was another long ball tonight, but they also finally got a few hits with runners in scoring position. I know they wasted a few other opportunities, probably could have tacked on more, but regardless, it ended up being enough. So it was nice to see them break through 12 hits on the night.
It was, and then, you know, the Sox offense has provided a couple of those nights where they just surprise you and they can do things that they don't normally look like they can do. You know, I've got to give, I know we're going to give him some flowers here in a little bit, but Brian Ramos has been a pretty decent addition to this lineup. He's helped spark some things. I know that's one of Steve's favorite guys. So, you know, it's really interesting to see them exhibit the ability to hit with runners in scoring position. That was a nice way to spend a Wednesday night watching this team actually do so tonight. So that's why we get to drink victory beers, man.
Cheers to that. Cheers to that, Nate. Cheers to Paul DeJong, because that home run that he hit was an absolute missile, absolute rocket, no doubter, guys. I don't know about you. I feel like they've been few and far between. We had a couple with Luis Robert on like that opening weekend, but we all know he is the departed for now in terms of injuries. But man, Paul DeJong really got a hold of that one, and that kind of jump-started things, right? Because they were down 1-0 at the time. Figure it could be another game that slips from you, but that jump starts it. And like you said, some timely hitting. Hey, Brian Ramos going the other way. Talk about the importance of that, Steve. That was huge with Andrew Benintendi leading off with the double, rare from Noodle Boy, but capitalized on it with Ramos in a good spot there.
You know, that's just kind of a professional at bat right there. That's something that you would expect to see from, you know, a 9-10 year veteran, kind of understanding the situation there, understanding that you've got a team that is struggling to score runs. You've got a guy on second base with nobody out here. You got to find a way to get that insurance run pushed across right there. At worst, you have to move him over 90 feet. And Ramos really did a solid job keeping his hands inside the baseball right there, pushing the ball the other way. And, you know, that's a big, strong boy right there. And being able to push that thing through the infield right there, obviously get Noodle Boy across the plate. And then, you know, one of the other things I want to talk about then is, you know, the next hitter that, you know, comes up, I think that was, you know, DeJong after that gets the base hit up the middle off of I think it was Paredes off of his glove, and Ramos getting a good read on that, seeing where that ball was going off the deflection right there, and getting that extra 90 feet and getting to the third base right there. And those are the types of heads up smart plays that this team has not been exhibiting through the first 6 weeks of this season here. And so to see a guy come up just, you know, a couple days removed from Double A Birmingham and looking like a heads up baseball player, that's quite a nice sight for sore eyes, if we're being honest with ourselves here.
To tack onto that, Brian Ramos is doing more play fast than any of the guys that started the season on the opening day roster.
Really is fascinating how that works out. You know, I mean, maybe that message just
big if true.
Maybe it just permeated its way all the way down to, you know, those Birmingham Barons who are leading the Southern League right now. You know, yeah. Just keep that in mind right there. So, you know, maybe he's bringing that winning culture and that winning attitude up north with him.
Yeah. You never know. I mean, it is encouraging when you see a guy make that jump from Double A. I know that was necessitated because of the 40-man roster status, but Tony, we love immediate production. It's fun to see this guy come up and do what he's doing. He's 5-for-14. He has double, two runs batted in, and only one walk versus one strikeout. Steven, I think this is another thing too that is very important, because usually when you see young guys come up, there's a lot of swing and miss, there's a lot of strikeout that goes on as they're trying to find their bearings against major league pitching, and hasn't been the case so far. Eliminate the only one punch out so far. I know it's, once again, we're small sample size theater here. Keep that in context, but it'd be, you know, it's better to have encouraging early returns than shitty ones, like we've seen from so many of guys that have come up through the system.
Yeah, you bring up a great point there, Jonathan. And one of the things that has kind of plagued Ramos across his ascension to the major leagues at this point, in the various stops at the affiliates, was, you know, kind of that first go round, having some of those plate discipline, some of those contact bat to ball issues there, seeing elevated strikeout rates, low level walk rates. So for him to come up here initially and just string together quality plate appearances, get himself into some positive hitters counts, and, you know, do some damage. I mean, that double he hit today was another nice piece of hitting right there. And just making adjustments when he's finding himself behind in counts with two strikes and, you know, shortening up his stroke right there and putting the bat on the baseball right there. So that is something that you definitely do like to see. And again, it really is a departure in a lot of ways from many of the guys that have come up in recent years that have been of, I would say, a much higher prospect pedigree than Ramos.
All right, I have to ask the question, since we're on him now. How long is Brian Ramos here for? Because Danny Mendick, if this 10-day IL retroactive to May 2nd, I believe, holds true, and what the update was when he went on the shelf is true, that he would be ready to come back at the end of that stint. Is Brian Ramos the one that gets sent down here? And is this just a brief cup of coffee while encouraging, or has he done enough to play his way to stay here right now?
I know in my baseball world right here, I would keep Brian Ramos up here and then just let Mendick and Nicky Naperville kind of rotate over at second base there. And Zach Remmler, you know, hey, you were here to be a roster filler for a short time being. Thanks. You know,
he's already done it once this year.
Yeah. Take your DFA and then accept your assignment down to Charlotte. And I think that's the real solution right here. If Ramos continues to show that he is not overmatched, there is no reason to send him back down.
Yeah, I'm with Steve. Let him earn it.
Southside Ron says, given the state of the roster, I think he should stay. Hashtag let the kids play. Kids with a Z. How do you do, fellow kids? That's Southside Ron. You agree with that, Donnie?
Yeah, why not? I mean, at this point, he's at least bringing the energy to the ballpark every day. I mean, that double could have probably gone out with just a little bit of some more elevation on that ball. And that would have been his first home run. I mean, he's hitting the ball right now. And until he's not, there's no reason to send him down. Zach Remillard was the name that I was going to as well. And Steve mentioned it. That's sort of just a roster filler right now. I would keep him up. See what you got out of the kid at this point. He's already here. You don't want to, you know, burn an option if you don't have to, and let him just ride it out. We're not competing for an AL Central title right now.
Right. I think that would be the logical move. But Steve, as we know, this organization is almost immune to doing the obviously right thing. So that is what I worry about.
And that is something that I myself am continually worried about, especially when you have Mr. Clean ultimately in control of the lineup card and some of these roster decisions here. So he can never be trusted. But I will say I do find it fascinating that he is giving Ramos as much run as he has to this point. I know we saw, you know, circumstances with my departed baby boy, Jose Rodriguez, in the past. Oscar Colas, Lenin Sosa, guys getting on Mr. Clean's bad side and then ultimately just not really being given much of a leash on things here. But it seems like Ramos is being given a little bit of run here to see what he can do and see how he acclimates himself here to the major league level. And so far, so good here in the short sample size.
He's probably your starting third baseman next year, guys. I don't know if that's in stone, but you want to see what he's got, because the Yoan Moncada experience is likely coming to an end. And so if that's your natural successor, let him get as much leeway until Yoan's back and stealing at bats from him. It makes sense for him to get used to playing in Chicago, playing in the big leagues. This is a good development. We'll see how long it lasts, but I think he's going to be in spring training competing for that starting third base job next season. So it's good to see what he can do right now. Well, you have the ability to give him these at bats. If you want to look at a silver lining of Yoan Moncada going on the IL, this is it right here.
Yeah. Good points all around. And I'd concur with that. And I would say that it'd be delusional to think that Brian Ramos is going to stay here for the extreme long term. And in terms of this, you know, year's roster here, there's probably going to be a period of struggle where it's going to force it's going to be a natural, at least you would hope, a natural time to, okay, send him back down, let him continue working out his game. Cause what, he's only 22 years old, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. You know, a young player like that is bound to hit it, you know, hit a little bit of a slump. Pitchers will adjust, maybe some tendencies. Maybe you see the strikeout numbers creep up, because while the early returns here are encouraging, you also can't completely deny the past and some things that have plagued him down at the minor league level. So it'll be interesting to see how it's handled. But like I said, we shouldn't have to do this to give, you know, a guy a pat on the back for actually doing it. But Mr. Clean actually did stick to his word and said that Ramos is here to play, not just sit on the bench. And so far, that's been the case. When he set the one game the very first day he was called up, but still got in as a defensive replacement in that weird extra innings game. But ever since then, he has been playing third base. And that is such a much better option than Braden Shumake, guys. That's another one. About Jared Schuster might be the best haul out of that Braves trade there. That's what it's looking like from this. So the other thing that I was just going to touch on from the series, I was pretty positive on Ramos there, but how much longer must we suffer Mike Soroka? Steve, this is real blemish on Brian Bannister here.
You know, it's not great, Bob. You know, Sirocco's a guy that I was excited to kind of see when the trade was finalized and see, you know, hey, can Bannister and can Katz, can they get him to reclaim some of that, you know, close to all-star form that he had from 5 years ago? Now, look, he was an all-star in 2019. That's a long time ago, and that's two ruptured Achilles tendons ago. It's a lot of time to miss from a developmental standpoint, and when you're not on the mound for that long, that can have a serious impact. And the fact of the matter is the stuff just is not there. He just does not get swings and misses consistently. I still think the slider is his best pitch, and maybe if they decided to have him be more slider heavy in his approach and how he goes after hitters, maybe that could turn the tide a little bit. But even that, I don't know if it is going to be enough to make this salvageable at this point. I mean, I know from my perspective here, if they think that, you know, Nick Nastrini or Jonathan Cannon at some point here in the near future is ready to come back up to the starting rotation, Mike Soroka is just not a guy that I need to see more of at this point here, unless something changes drastically here in the very near future.
So he's penciled in as of right now, as we're airing the show on Wednesday night, he is penciled in as Sunday's starter, I believe, in this upcoming Cleveland series. With Mike Clevinger now in the mix, with Brad Keller, I know he did come out of the bullpen, but we've seen guys go back and forth a la Chris Flexen, who we talked about at the beginning of the show, and is giving it the namesake here. It seems like writing would hopefully be on the wall. I don't know if they'll give up on him this early, but you got to think, Steve, if something really doesn't change here. I mean, if he just gets rocked, is, you know, walking a lot of guys still on Sunday in his next outing here, it's got to be close because other options and more viable options are at least trickling in here.
I would certainly agree. Like I said, from my standpoint, I don't really need to see a whole lot more. Maybe they're holding out hope that if they maybe change something up with his approach, maybe that would lead to some better results. But that would kind of beg the question, why hasn't this been implemented to this point? Because if I can see the issues with the fastball getting hammered around the way that it is and the sinker not doing what it was doing in 2019, not being able to miss the bats, I would hope that somebody that is employed in an analytics department of a Major League Baseball team would be able to see it. So that's not particularly encouraging from my perspective there. So, yeah, I mean, it is going to be interesting to see what happens here if this start on Sunday against the dreaded Cleveland Guardians goes poorly.
Johnny, is this Steve's save a player of the week candidate right here? Can Steve turn him around? That's the only question I have.
Yeah, Steve, you'd have to dive into some of the data, although, you know, it almost feels like a lost cause at this point. There's just so little to be excited about when you see. It'd be one thing if it was, okay, well, he's just, you know, he's getting through certain, he's missing some bats, but then just leaving too much out of the zone. I mean, we've seen guys with good stuff do that, and it's like, okay, then maybe you're like talking about a potential bullpen arm down the road, like if he actually threw like smoke, or if, like, you know, it was just like a small tweak off. But there's just so much to, you know, pick apart with this game that is wrong that I just might even be beyond Steve saving Tony.
Yeah, I don't know, but we are probably getting pretty dangerously close to that 11.5 over on starting pitchers for the Chicago White Sox this season that we talked about in the spring preview shows. But I'd have to go back and do an official count, but I think we're creeping up close to it, and it's only May.
For the criteria on that, does it count for an opener? Because didn't Tanner Banks open a game against these Cleveland Guardians that we'll see? Does that count then towards that?
I don't think that an opener should count towards that.
I don't count the opener.
But Brad Keller counts, and yeah.
I count the Brad Keller.
The guys that come. Okay. Like, all right. Well, interesting to keep tabs on. So we'll have to go and backtrack it and get that count up there. But I think the over is going to hit. I mean, come on. We're only into early part of the second month of the season, right? And, you know, for all the injuries that they've had to position players, rotation has been healthy. So while they're not great options, right, someone is bound to go on the shelf because this is baseball and it's 162 game grind and those things happen. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. That's the storyline moving forward here at Sox on Tap. Appreciate everybody tuning in with us here on this Wednesday evening. Let's move on to another little bit of business that the White Sox conducted today, and that was trading Robbie Grossman. Hi, how are you? See you later. Short stint on the South side has come to an end. He's going back to the Texas Rangers, where he won a World Series last year. And the White Sox got a mouthful of a minor league pitcher in return. I did put the phonetic spelling in our notes here, but I really, really am tempted to have Tony pronounce this one for us.
We'll give it a go. We'll give it a go here. Anthony Hoopy Tijuanaeta Toa.
good first effort on just reading through.
That's what it looks like to me.
Tijuanaeta Toa. That's phonetic.
Steven going to give it a go?
I don't think I can. I don't think I can really do it justice based off of what you put out there, Anthony. So I think we're going to leave that.
You got to roll the T.
How do you do that?
I don't think T's really roll off the tongue very well there, Anthony.
Guys, on this trade though, I mean, Robbie Grossman we always knew it was just filler, right? Fill some innings, fill some outfield. He got on base a little bit for the Sox, but overall he's like -0.1 WAR by the time he was traded. So that's not, is what it is. Who you got back in return, though, what I just look at with this is you got to understand there's no, at least in my mind, possibility of starter capability here. This is a bullpen guy. He's pitched exclusively out of the bullpen. He does not even have one minor league start, which is, kind of strange to me because you at least see some of these guys, especially if they have some electric stuff from the few highlights that I could find. Looked like the fastball had some nice ride from this new pitcher that they have now, AA level, but no starts at all through his minor league career. So you got to take that into consideration. And what we talked about before the show, another lottery ticket here. Is there a level on this one though, Steve? We're talking tiered lottery tickets.
I mean, I would say that maybe this is like a $2 scratch off here versus just your $1 scratch off. So you look at this is a guy that was participating in the Arizona Fall League a year ago. He's had a nice start to his 2024 season, and the numbers look interesting enough. And the stuff and some of the scouting reports look like a guy that could have back end of the bullpen potential here. Still, obviously, a long way to go. I'm only in AA at this point. But I will say this about it. I would rather see this team take chances with guys like this and try to develop cost-controlled relievers versus having to go the route of signing the Co-Jellies of the world and the Kendall Gravemans and all the other relievers that we have seen this team spend and allocate resources towards over the course of the last 15 years. So if you can use some of these deals and look, any additional deals that get made later on the season, the returns are not going to be great. So if you are able to piece together a future bullpen, and obviously not all of these guys are going to hit. Hoopy, as I'm going to call him, might not hit. There's a good chance he won't. But if he does, if you can get a couple of these guys to hit and actually be part of a bullpen in 2026, 2027, so you don't have to waste resources on that when you need bats and actual everyday players, that's a positive right there. So hopefully this can work out. And who knows, get him in the Bannister lab. We'll see what happens.
All I heard there was Steve hates John Brebbia. Confirmed, Tony.
I heard that too. And it was a lot of John Brebbia slander in that little segment there from Steven.
We joke. This front, guys, one last note, just something funny, is I wrote a little post up over at oddamsportsnet.com about the transaction when it took place, but I was delighted to see an HD highlight of this guy It only came by way of it being in the Fall Stars game, though. And that was aired on MLB Network. So they have the higher quality cameras than the iPhone 3s that record your typical double A game. So that was at least encouraging for me. At least made
Wait a minute. The double A games are getting an iPhone 3 now? I mean, I know that when I see the highlights of my Birmingham Barons, it usually looks like a shot from a fucking blimp.
Yeah. I had to have a laugh about that when I saw that. So, like I said, first transaction, probably first of many with guys that'll be shipped out. I would imagine a little bit higher tier of a scratch-off ticket in exchange for a Tommy Pham. Probably a little bit more value there, I would imagine. But, you know, the likes of it. And you've heard various reports that certain guys will be on the move. Who knows if anyone will want to take them, though, because, you know, Eloy, nah, come on, injury prone, you know, we saw it. Who knows? We'll see who else gets shipped out as the season progresses. Okay, as we move on in our rundown here, a little update on Luis Robert Jr. Apparently had a little setback as he's rehabbing in Arizona from the hip flexor strain, but it's nothing that is too concerning per Chris Getz here. Maybe this pushes it back from mid-May to more looking like end of May, early June is what I gather from this.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Obviously, you would like to see Luis Robert Jr. back in the lineup, give this team an actual major league hitter and someone that has the threat of hitting the baseball out of the ballpark with consistency, which this team sorely needs right now, and just an actual exciting player out there on the field every day. So we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. If that means that, you know, it's just kind of scaling things back a little bit just to make sure that he's completely right for his return to the South Side, then that's the right thing to do.
Tony, the most devastating part about this would be a delayed, on the fireworks that could possibly be incoming. That's what I'm upset about.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Jerry Reinsdorf saving more money, guys, on the firework budget here with Luis Robert Jr. out. I mean, I was prepared to see him gone for the
look at you just blaming Jerry Reinsdorf for everything, because I heard that was a hot topic on the interwebs earlier today.
Who, me? Blaming Jerry? Or just blaming Jerry?
No, people in general just blaming Jerry for everything.
I was just saying he gets to save some extra money. He's got to be okay with the delayed.
He was probably shocked by the Saturday of opening weekend when Robert did it twice, which I guess isn't that surprising, but Braden Shoemake added to it. And that's not one that you account for in the firework budget. That one, you know, that probably, you know, set it back quite a bit there. Okay. That's about it on Luis Robert Jr. Stay tuned on tapsportsnet.com. We'll post any updates that come from that. All right, Tony, you had another post over there at that website that I had just mentioned regarding Ozzie Guillen and his comments from Tuesday's postgame show. He was not a happy camper. Tell us what it was all about.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzie brought the TWTW and the fire and passion to the postgame show yesterday when he talked a little bit about how he's fed up watching this team play without any accountability. And we know, Steve, that there's not an accountability problem. I need your Kenny Williams impression here for this segment.
I think we all know that there is not an accountability within the White Sox organization, even though I am no longer here, even though I am now taking on a greater role trying to go about diversifying corporate America and Major League Baseball here. I can assure you that there is no accountability issue within the White Sox organization.
Thank you. That's what we needed to hear. But Ozzie sort of just calls this out, talks about how he went home the other night, talked to his wife, said that he was sick of watching this team. And when you hear your former manager, a guy who's beloved by most Chicago White Sox fans, and someone that's paid to talk about this team on the corporate postgame show, say that he's sick of watching this. As the White Sox, I know we got the win today. We were 8-28, I believe, when this comment came out. It's a historically bad start, guys. It's been pretty fucking abysmal. And I thought he was speaking the truth for how everyone feels about watching this product on a night in and night out basis. That's why we're celebrating as hard as we are today with the victory beers, Johnny. It's because it has been abysmal. And, you know, to hear that called out, I wish more people probably stuck around to tune into this, but most of them were probably gone because it didn't seem like Ozzy wanted to stick around and talk about this any longer. That's sad. That's where we're at. And it's a really low feeling when you're there. I don't know about you guys, but it's a pretty low feeling.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I he didn't mention specifics, but I'll get into a specific. How does Andrew Vaughn maintain his spot at 3 and 4 in the order, given the production that he has put up so far this season? I understand that there's not a whole lot of great options within this lineup, but I like what our guy Bez said on the X Machine earlier today. It was, there are 4 competent, you know, hitters in this lineup. They should bat 1 through 4 in the lineup. And there doesn't need to be any further discussion about it. And I really subscribe to that, because that is then what they've done with their track record. They've earned those spots. So then in turn, the accountability would push the struggling players further down the lineup. That would be a very simple fix in my mind. And of course, as we say this, all Andrew Vaughn goes out and gets 2 hits today. Even though I think the first one was Mickey Mouse, double down the line, give you that. Didn't lead to anything, but, other than that, I mean, he doesn't deserve to be hitting 3-4. So that's really where my mind raced when I heard accountability on this. And it's just Pedro Grifol plugging the Andrew Vaughn peg back in because he doesn't know how to move it down any further.
What I think about the accountability factor and someone that really needs to be taken to task, I think about the other Andrew, Noodle Boy. Because the next time Noodle Boy hits a cutoff man will be the first time he hits a cutoff man in a White Sox uniform. Between that and he had another just piss poor fucking plate appearance today with a runner in scoring position and less than 2 outs. This has been just something that we are seeing from him consistently throughout.
Is this anti-Italian American discrimination going on over here, Johnny? I can't tell.
Am I speaking facts only or not?
Yes to both.
Well, me anti-Italian? Oh, never.
You said it.
that's outrageous. That's slander right there. That's what that is.
Both can be true because you're right on the, you know, the plate appearance and then the cutoff too. I mean, it's funny, like when Triffin like talks about like, you know, like, you know, guys running the bases. I know you have to say it because it's out of sight when the camera is on the ball, but it's like, I know that throw's not coming home. It's not going to the right place. It's not going to the cutoff, man. Like that one today, it's like, oh, it gets into third. And it's like, luckily DeJong backtracked to be able to go and find it. And it's like, we should be having these problems with the veteran left fielder, right?
You should not be having those issues with the guy that's the highest paid player in the history of your franchise. We can make jokes about that all we want here, but this is a guy that has been in the major league since 2016. These are mistakes you would expect from someone of Brian Ramos ilk, who's only got a couple days at the big league level, not someone who's been up here for 8 years already. It's fucking embarrassing.
Yep.
He's not the only one that has a cutoff man problem, though.
Yeah, I think it's a team-wide issue.
Yeah,
it's definitely just ripping down Pedro's play fast signs. Those are probably in a dumpster somewhere at Camelback Ranch at this point. Anyone else on this that comes to mind, though, when you hear that word accountability and Ozzie's little spiel on it?
Maldonado?
Mr. Clean.
Yeah, Mr. Clean Maldonado, himself?
Mr. Clean himself, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking Maldonado. Personally, from that standpoint, and I know I highlighted early on in the season one of the issues with the pitch calling, a first pitch fastball to Salvador Perez after a mound visit with Michael Kopech on the mound. This is a guy that his existence at this point is to guide this pitching staff and to be that coach on the field that we were told he is. You might want to start doing some of the coaching then, because what I'm seeing so far, not the so good.
Right. It doesn't line up with the, you know, and all that stuff is overblown anyway, right? Especially for a guy at this stage of his career, that veteran presence and how much that really helps. And sure, there might be some minor things that he could help, you know, behind closed doors in game preparation and whatever, but you also got to execute on the field. And when you see instances like that one that you had just mentioned against Salvador Perez in a key spot, that's just flies in the face of the coach on the field, veteran leadership, guiding the pitching staff. It just, you know, it doesn't add up there in totality. So other than that, I mean, Mr. Clean, we've talked about that on this front. I don't want to put words in Ozzie's mouth, but like I said, when he opened up that segment with that word accountability, this is where my mind races. And you're talking about Mr. Clean, like Steve, in the piece that you wrote, Dead Man Walking, about Pedro Grifol. It's, you know, in any competent organization, this would lead to change, right? In that position, even if it were only for the, you know, just the show and the result of someone needs to go when it gets this bad. Yet he's likely going to be around all this year. And unfortunately, Martin Maldonado is going to stick around for a while too, because Max Stassi's on the IL. So on the Mr. Clean thing, it's going to be more suffering through this, but man, I understand the fans that are calling for it and want to see it happen right now.
It would certainly be nice for there to be a level of organizational accountability, but that is something that, you know, we've seen be a problem, despite what the departed Kenneth Williams would lead you to believe. This has just been an issue with this team for well over a decade at this point. Unfortunately, it goes back to Robin Ventura's time as manager, Rick Hahn, his time as general manager, Ken Williams, his time as team president. Like I say frequently, the fish stinks from the head. So we all know who the real fucking problem is here when it comes to accountability within this organization.
At least, Steve, your guy Brian Bannister knows he's going to have a paycheck for the next 20 years. Like, you've got to feel good about that.
Listen, as the Bannister bot, yes, I feel good about that. I feel like after Chris Flexen's performance today, how can you not say he deserves it? Come on.
Right.
No credit goes really to Ethan Katz anymore.
He is really doing you some favors at the end of series, Steve. He got extended after the crochet outing on Sunday against the Cardinals. He gets extended after Chris Flexen goes out and shoves today. But, you know, Mike Soroka, Mike Clevenger earlier in the series, not water. Your boy Brian Bannister in hot water for those ones, but luckily you're flexing. That solved it today. So live to fight another day on the Brian Bannister front. So guys, we're about winding down here on this edition of Sox on Tap. Let's take a look at what's on tap next. And that'll be a four gamer. Cleveland Guardians leading the division at 23-13. They're coming into town Thursday through Sunday. Give you some matchups real quick. It'll be Fetty versus Ben Lively on Thursday, Garrett Crochet versus Carlos Carrasco on Friday, Mike Clevenger versus Tristan McKenzie on Saturday, another toothpick, and Mike Soroka, as we mentioned before, is penciled in as of right now for Sunday's game against Logan Allen. So, Steve, you got an unfortunate anecdote for us that coincides with this Cleveland team. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off and get it over with before we talk about the series.
All right. Tomorrow is the 2-year anniversary of the worst baseball game I have ever attended in my life. It is the anniversary of the Sox coughing up the 6-run lead in the top of the 9th inning against these very same Cleveland Guardians, the infamous Josh Naylor grand slam off of Liam Hendricks, where he was acting like a psychopath in the dugout. 2 years ago tomorrow, and from my perspective, that was the moment where the 2022 season officially went off the rails. They were 15-14 at that point. And that game, when it happened, you know, they had a chance, obviously, to win the first game of a series against a divisional opponent and a team that ultimately went on to win the division that season. And you had a chance to hashtag set the tone. and you let them come into your ballpark and score six runs on you in the bottom of the, or excuse me, in the top of the ninth inning right there. And it really just kind of sucked the air out of this team, and they never recovered. And it's very ironic, I guess, in a sense that they come back into Chicago tomorrow on the 2-year anniversary of that fateful day.
You rehashed it enough for my liking. I was there as well. Very upset leaving the ballpark that night. Like you said, all those things, game in hand, should have had it. And then you get the antics of Josh Naylor after he rubs it in your face with the grand slam. It was bad. Okay. We're in 2024 now. Enough of that. Let's talk about this weekend series.
Are you flushing it, Johnny? Are you flushing it?
Yeah. I'm just flushing that right now. Like I said, we had to rip the Band-Aid off. Steve gave it to us. I don't want to languish over it anymore. Talk about this weekend series predictions. How do you think it's going to shake out? I think we were pretty close last time, Tony. You might have been a little overzealous with the two wins, but I think I said we would get one. I think Steve was in that range as well. So we've been fairly accurate on predictions here. How do we see this one shaking out?
I think they'll get one. So that's my hope. I am planning on being at the ballpark Friday night. Garrett Crochet on the mound. So that would be a great night to see them get one. I'm 0-2 in person this year. So let's put one in the left-hand column with me in attendance, please.
There you go. I'm glad that you're making the pilgrimage to Jerry's World for some Friday night baseball. This one will be interesting. We'll see if the weather reports. I do know there's some rain in the forecast tomorrow. Hopefully they get this one in. But I'm going to go with one as well, guys. I think that between Friday and maybe Saturday, those are your ones to look at. Although Fetty is on the mound Thursday night, so that's a potential win for the White Sox. I don't see any hope for Sunday with Soroka, and we sort of rehashed that earlier in the episode on why, but I think one is the right number here, but I could also see where Cleveland sort of mops the floor with the Chicago White Sox and we don't get any.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because when I look at these pitching matchups, ooh, you want to say possibly two, but I'm going to stick with you guys. I'm going one. Let's get one. I don't know which one exactly it'll be. Friday, Steven, I do think that's maybe a good bet. Garrett Crochet's got to keep up what he did down in St. Louis, but that's a good bet. And then also Carlos Carrasco, you know, a veteran guy who was very good in his first run in Cleveland. He is back there now helping them fill innings as they weather injuries and whatnot there. So I think that might be a good bet there. I want to see some offense. I want to see the firework budget, you know, go out of control. Tony, I'd like to see that. It was nice seeing 12 hits today. I'd like to see more of that because we've talked about it before, but it's just so much more engaging as a fan watching experience because, you know, we're all still going to put ourselves through this, but I want to get hammered and just, you know, be out of the game in the third, fourth inning. Like, let's at least make it interesting, even if we are going to drop some of these games because, you know, 4-game series, no days off in between. You'd imagine there's some bullpen taxing. Makes it really important for the starters to give you at least some semblance of length throughout there. But, you know, with Cleveland playing as well as they are, they're bound to get to someone and the runs can pile up and you might be looking at more taxation of that bullpen. So
one thing that'll help the Sox in this series is Kwan is injured and he's sort of a silent Sox killer, in my opinion. So
yeah, it's like a thorn in the side. Yeah.
Yeah. But still they're playing really good baseball and it's gonna be a rough series potentially here.
They're playing good baseball and that makes me fucking sick because everyone knows I hate Cleveland with every fiber of my being.
There's a lot of hate in your heart for AL Central team, Steve. I admire the hate that is in your heart for all these teams. It's pretty impressive. I just had to let you know.
If you've got hate in your heart, let it out.
Yeah. Yes. That's what we're here for. Some good venting sessions. And the mantra, all other AL Central teams. That's how we roll here at Sox on Tap. We're just about wrapping up with this episode, guys. Give me one final thought from each of yous, and then we will get on out of here.
Final thought. Like I said, it's a positive sight to see this team go win a season series against an American League foe. We did know
something like that was going to happen in the year of our Lord 2024, given the way that this thing started off. So that's definitely a positive from my perspective. And, you know, let's build on this and find a way to win a game when I'm in attendance against Cleveland on Friday. Do it for me. Come on, do it for my psyche.
Final thought, the bats are going to heat up when the weather warms up. That's my final thought.
Yeah, sure. We've heard that one before.
Yeah,
maybe a time or two, maybe a time or two.
The guys, they'll start to, achieve the stats that are on the back of their baseball card. That's another one.
Yeah. Mine is, I would love to see Andrew Vaughn finally move down in the order, but I think the two hits tonight probably bought him, you know, more time there. And you know what, even if he didn't get those, I would not be shocked if Mr. Clean would have left him there, but maybe we'll get a day off for him at some point in here, since we're talking about such a long run. But mine goes back to the accountability thing. I'd like to see some of those instituted, especially against the Andrews, but I digress. That does it for this episode of Sox on Tap. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Make sure you're subscribed over on YouTube, On Tap Sportsnet there, so you don't miss an episode. Follow us on the socials at Sox on Tap and at On Tap Sportsnet. And check out OnTapSportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports, literature, and podcasting needs. We'll be back with you on Sunday Funday, wrapping up that four-gamer against Cleveland. Until next time, White Sox forever.
White Sox forever.
White Sox for life.